Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and I am here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
So I have the longest, most convoluted name, but it is the only name I can be for this episode, which is Jimmy. We've gone too far.
Jimmy, we've gone too far. I like it. We're starting on a sour note, is what just
It's the
happened.
only place we can start. We've been away for 2 weeks, so we've now got to witness 2 weeks of VAR. We've gone so far backwards. Like, I thought we were done with we was it 2 years ago where we really came on this podcast every week and it was like, here's the segment for this week. Which VAR thing happened that was terrible? I feel like we got away from that for like a year and a half, and that every once in a while something stupid would happen, but it wouldn't be, terrible. Now we are at like peak VAR.
We've returned to COVID level VAR.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It is
Yeah.
disgusting.
Sure is. It's unfortunate. And I'm sure we're going to talk about some of the decisions when we talk about some of these different games that we need to recap. But Jimmy, it's time for fantasy football season. The fall is here, and it kind of stinks that like the Premier League is going to be ending soon to take a siesta for the World Cup. It just feels so stupid.
It's so funny. I literally this morning I was sitting there going, "Oh, the World Cup's like a month and a half away, huh? Or whatever it is, 2 months away from right now." I think it's about like 2 months, and I'm just like, "That's so stupid.
Yeah,
That's
it.
so stupid." Like we're in the process of having like I think a really good season. I think there's all the potential for it to be a really exciting year, and we're just gonna stop for 2 months in the middle of it, like. I almost feel like they should have did like the how the Mexican League has like the two separate seasons, how they're basically broken up and there's two different seasons each year. And I feel like they kind of should have just did that. We should have had like the pre-World Cup season and the post-World Cup season and just did something because this just is going to feel so stupid. I don't
I think if we're going to do that, we should just call the league now. And I mean, Arsenal in first place, stop the
Yeah.
count.
Stop the count. Stop the count. Oh, God.
But yeah, World Cup on the horizon definitely doesn't feel like it. Premier League is just starting to get going. The VAR is becoming more terrible than it's maybe ever been. That means the league is humming. And the transfer deadline ended since we last potted. There have been some managers that have fired since we were last podcasting. And I think that's where we might want to begin, Jimmy, with the new managers. So our prediction for the first manager to be fired, we both agreed on Frank Lampard. And then my hot take was Thomas Tuchel. And, I came on the podcast after watching that Chelsea versus Tottenham game. And I was like, well, I think my hot take is now shit because Chelsea looked great. And since then, they've been very up and down, mostly down. They've lost against some random teams like Southampton. They've squeaked out wins against West Ham when they really should not have. And they lost in the Champions League to Dynamo Zagreb. And after that game, Thomas Tuchel was fired. Not the first manager. That was Scott Parker, who was very harshly done by. I think we both agree on
Foolish
that.
done. Honestly, here's the thing. I've never been a fan of Thomas Tuchel. I don't think his personality is a good personality for a team trying to win over a season. Obviously we cannot take away that they won the Champions League in heartbreaking fashion for me. They managed to do that. But they weren't good in the league in the back half of the season. Were they better than Lampard? Yeah, but they were very lucky to pull it together like they did in the Champions League. They were after a great start last year, they were pretty awful from mid-season to the end of the season. They just had done such a great start that it carried them through most of the season. I think the way he handled the Lukaku situation was just abysmal. I'm just not a huge fan of him. And at the same time, I want to say I think that this is extremely stupid.
Yeah,
Because much like the Scott Parker firing. You've given the manager the summer to make signings, and specifically with Chelsea, when you brought in players like Aubameyang, who specifically came to Chelsea to play for Tuchel, and he clearly had a real influence on the players you brought in, and then you sack him days after the transfer window closes, after you spent the most money of any team. I don't see the vision here. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they fired all of their football operations people as well. We're all let go. I don't know what Chelsea are doing. I'm glad, because I mean, I think Chelsea have been in disarray is never a bad thing, as you know, as a adversarial team in the league. But I don't really understand what they're doing. There's some great players on that team still. It's a very, very good squad, but it's a bit of a mess right now, it seems like, at Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they do, right? They'll win the Champions League or win the league, and then they'll have a down year, and then next year they'll win the league or the Champions League. So, I mean, it's just all falling into the same pattern as usual. I think it's just strange, like you said, they backed Tuchel so much a week ago, and now he's been fired for a few bad results. I mean, really, one or two bad results. It's not like these were you know, in succession. He had just won against West Ham, and then they lost a group stage game to Dynamo Zagreb. And I guess that was the last straw. But I guess the rumor is that him and Todd Boehly weren't getting along all that well, and that Tuchel was kind of not willing to explain English football or international football to the American owner. So they got off on the wrong foot originally, apparently. But yeah, that was shocking. I mean, Frank Lampard still has a job. Steven Gerrard still has a job. You know, I didn't expect Tuchel to go this
Rogers.
Soon. Brendan Rodgers is maybe the most shocking one. We have to talk about that. But yeah, lots of movement already. Graham Potter from Brighton, now the Chelsea manager. Great move, in my opinion. I think we both really like Graham Potter.
Yeah, so I think he's a great hire, but I go back to, what's the plan? What's the operational staff? Who are the people making these decisions? I'm actually surprised that they've made such a good hire, considering the fact that they don't have, it seems like, anybody really steering the ship. I mean, they cleared house. We saw Marina left. We saw Petr Cech left. Like, a lot of their, you know, operational staff are gone. And I just don't really understand what they're doing. And Graham Potter, again, is a great hire, but you can't succeed in the Premier League without it goes beyond the manager. We've seen it at City. We've seen it at Liverpool. We've seen what the changes I think Arsenal are putting in place now that we're starting to see the results from that. Like, you need a full team to pull this off. And I don't know. I mean, maybe he's been a very good manager. He's done a great deal with Brighton, which I don't think Brighton have the strongest squad. And he's made them a very, very competitive team. I'm interested to see what they do. I'm interested to see the first meeting between him and Cucurella as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. But anyways, Jimmy, let's get into some games. And we're just going to go through the table, I think, rather than individual games for the most part. But where do you want to start, top or bottom?
Can we start at the bottom, because we kind of teased it?
Yeah, you are a bottom. I knew it. let's start with Leicester City, who have now played 6 games, and they've won 0 of them. Lost 5 and drawn 1. Leicester City continue their abysmal start to the league. And their latest result, a 5-2 defeat to Brighton. Every time I watch Leicester City, Jimmy, they look fucking dismal. They cannot defend. They are the worst defensive team in the league by far. They make Leeds of last year look like they were, you know, a team of legends.
Yeah, they are a mess. This is a team that just... This is why I told you, we talked about it in the last episode, I believe, when I said I wanted Brendan Rodgers to be my shocking fire person. I didn't pull the trigger. Not that it would have mattered now, but he'd be third even at this point. But I almost feel like they need a change there. But I think they need a a wholesale change. I think they need a real turnover of the squad that we haven't really seen. We've seen, you know, one or two players leave and come in, but they have not been very active bringing players in for the last two seasons. We've seen players go out. We saw them lose Fofana now, who is arguably their best player. And I mean, we've seen James Maddison come back a bit. I think James Maddison at the end of last season, the beginning of the season, looks a little more like himself after last year, at the beginning of the year, looking like it was over for him. Like it had come and gone. He looks a little bit like himself, but this team just, it's just a mess. It really is. Like, I look at this team, I don't think they're going to go down. I don't. But there's always, you know, there's always that team that ends up in that relegation battle that you didn't expect to be there. And it's, I mean, the signs have been there. We've seen this team start off hot in previous years and then just always start to collapse when the depth came into play, when they would lose players to injury. And then last year, they just didn't look like the same team. And this looks like a continuation of last year's trajectory. And they just, they really look bad.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I'll say with Leicester is that they have a solid team. I mean, both of their forwards are decent. Daka, Iheanacho, and Jamie Vardy, obviously. Their midfield, I'd say, is really is pretty solid as well. Harvey Barnes, James Maddison, Tielemans, Sumare, Drewsbury Hall, all very solid players. It's just that defense and the goalkeeper. Those five players may be the worst defensive unit in the league. And it's because most of them aren't true defenders, right? I mean, like Wilfred Ndidi is playing defense and Amarte is playing defense.
Yeah.
Danny Ward was a terrible signing in goal. I think he's been awful. Every time I've seen him play, he's just so shaky with everything he does. Doesn't instill me with any confidence. And then James Justin and Johnny Evans. I mean, James Justin is solid. But Johnny Evans is just too, he's off the pace, way too far off. And now, with Fofana leaving, they've inserted Luke Thomas and, you know, too soon to make a judgment on him, but I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, I am as well. I really am worried. I don't want to go as far and say they're going to be relegated. I just don't. I just think there's too much talent there. But I do think they really need a change. I think they need a wholesale change, a new manager. And I think they need to go into maybe beginning in January, bringing players in and moving players on. There was the Jamie Vardy potential to United that came up. I honestly think maybe it was time they make these decisions and start making these moves, because the team, I mean, they need to, in new blood. And if they need to make sales to do that, I mean, they sold Fofana now near the end of the window. Maybe January they'd spend that money and they reinforce. They definitely need to. I mean, defensively, Johnny Evans was a very good pro in this league for a long time, but his time has passed. Amarte, how many times do I have to say this guy's horrible? He's a bad fullback. He's an even worse center back. He's just a bad player. I feel weird picking on a player, but I can honestly say I've never seen him do anything good on a pitch. No. I don't understand. I don't get it. And yeah, to your point, Danny Ward just,
he does not instill you with confidence.
No,
not at all.
Does I think they could have done better. Or they should have 100%. Just tried to keep Schmeichel. I mean, they should have fought more. I don't know.
Have no idea why they didn't go for Bern Leno when Arsenal were trying to get Yuri Tillemans. It seemed like Leno plus money should have been more than enough to get Tillemans. You know, it seems like the team is a little bit dejected, too. Speaking of dejected, I think that's a good segue into talking about Liverpool, who currently sit in seventh place. Have only won two of their first six matches, drawn three, lost one, and were just obliterated in the Champions League by Napoli. And some of the clips from that game against Napoli are absolutely shocking. Trent Alexander-Arnold walking around the pitch for basically every goal that Napoli scored. Van Dijk is just like, doesn't seem to have any support and is out of position quite a bit. Joe Gomez, another one walking around the pitch.
Joe Gomez is bad. I've never understood any hype of Joe Gomez. He's another Amarte to me. He's another player who can play right back and center back and play them both badly. Like, I've never understood the hype around him. It always seems to be the hype when he's injured and can't play, and like, oh, we're missing Joe Gomez. Just wait till he gets back. It's like, oh, yeah, all right. He's not very good. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, if I'm Reece James, I'm just sending this clip to Garrett Southgate over and over and over again. Same thing if I'm Kyle Walker, though Kyle Walker's also had a pretty dismal start to the season by his standards. Reece James, you got to be a happy boy right now. I know Chelsea, we talked about the mess there, but I think Reece James is literally by default walking into being the starting right back for England at the World Cup.
Yeah, and in Liverpool, I mean, Mo Salah not scoring. Things are not off to a hot start there. You know, it's odd. I tweeted, I think, after their most recent draw against Everton, which was kind of a shocker that Everton were able to pull off that result. Like, are Liverpool fans worried? And, you know, of course, the mentions of Liverpool fans, if you question their team in any way, they're going to be upset. But the sentiment was basically like, no, we're the second best team in the league by a mile. I don't know if that's the case. I'm actually fairly certain that it's not the case. I feel like any team could potentially beat Liverpool, unless you're Bournemouth at this point. They're just not looking like the unit that they have been under Jurgen Klopp for so long. I wonder if the burnout is starting to take place.
I do too, and I will say, generally, looking at Liverpool so far this season, outside of the Bournemouth game, which Bournemouth we do have to talk about because Bournemouth are
awful team,
and it's very, very bad.
They sit in 13th right now, but they're going down 100%.
They are, but yeah, they're a sure thing to go down. I know they have 7 points, but they're going down. There's no doubt in my mind that team is going down. That team cannot defend at all. But regardless of the point, outside of that match, Liverpool have been outplayed in every single game this season. They were outplayed by Fulham. They were outplayed by Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. United beat them. They were outplayed by Newcastle.
Newcastle, yeah.
And they salvaged it at the end. And Everton outplayed them. They've been outplayed every single match with the exception of the Bournemouth match. They've been lucky that they were able to salvage the draws against Fulham and Crystal Palace, and very, very lucky to get the win they got against Newcastle. I have not at all been impressed. That being said, I don't think all hope is lost.
No.
I think they will turn it around. I still believe they will be competing for the league. I do question, though. It's like there's doubt there hasn't been. And they do not have, the one big difference is the intimidation factor is gone.
It feels that way, huh?
Yeah, that's the difference, because in previous seasons, you always felt like they were going to find a way to get the win. If they went down early, whatever happened, you thought they'd find a way. But I feel like that thought is gone in teams' brains. Like, I feel like teams are coming at them, playing against them, not being afraid and sitting back and just letting Liverpool eventually break them down. I do think the intimidation factor is gone. I really do. And I don't know what that's down to. I don't know if it's just, you know, they've been the same team for a while and it's just starting to catch up. I really don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that their midfield is bad. They're not bad players, but they're not like Harvey Elliott's a good player, but he's not helping them playing in midfield. He's more of a winger. He's not. Him playing in midfield is limiting Salah down the right. Like, it, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. And James Milner's completely passed it. The game has passed him by. He's been a great pro for a long time, but his time has come.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't make any additions that were significant, at least. I don't know if they ended up signing. I said that were significant. Not turned out to be significant. they just seem to be off it. The sentiment around Jurgen Klopp and Anfield seems to be way down. And I think just the most concerning thing was just the body language of some of the players again in that Napoli game. You know, they were down 1-0 and Trent Alexander's walking around like hands on the hips, not moving or marking anyone. And I mean, Trent is like the Liverpool boy. And if he's not into it, I don't know who's going to be. So I'm concerned. Do you think Jurgen Klopp will be here come the end of the season?
I do. I don't see a way. With all he's done for them, I can't see any way they let him go. So that he will be there the whole season. I think they're going to be good. Like, I don't think they're going to be bad. I want to be clear. I don't think this is going to continue all year. So I don't even think that'll be a discussion. But when he leaves, I feel like he will leave by, quote unquote, mutual consent. But in the summer, he will be someone who at the end of the season, and I'm not saying at the end of this year, but when he leaves, it will be, you know, at the end of the year, he's moving on and he'll move to take over for Carlo Ancelotti at Real Madrid or something like that. Like one of those moves will come. Or PSG if they still can't find a way to win the Champions League.
I do wonder if this is the beginning of the end, though. I mean, six games in, I don't think tells you anything. I mean, Arsenal sit top of the table. They're not going to stay there. Leicester sit at the bottom. They're not going to stay there. So Liverpool aren't going to stay seventh. I think they're clearly top four, probably going to finish second or third. But I do think parity is being restored to the league a little bit. Liverpool and City both not off to, you know, the stunning start that we would think they were going to be off to. And we can move to City now where, you know, they've had 4 wins, 2 draws, no losses. They've been a little bit fortunate themselves to get a draw against Newcastle and against Villa. I mean, not a game that you want to be drawing. So
no.
what's wrong, Jimmy?
I don't think it is wrong. I want to say they were fortunate to get the draw against Newcastle and unfortunate to get the draw against Villa because City dominated Villa. That was not even a match. It was completely one-sided. And it was just City did not take all their chances and get the second goal. And a great finish from Leon Bailey drew it. Like, it's simple as that. It was a great finish. It didn't come from a mistake. It was just he got good space. They found him and he had a nice shot and scored a goal. City were very good in that game. They were very, very good. And Villa were never in the game. It went completely against the run of play. But City have looked very good this season. The draw against Newcastle, notwithstanding, which they looked a mess. I mean, St. Maximin literally terrorized the defense, completely single-handedly created so much of that attack for Newcastle. But I think City have looked very good in the other matches they've played. The beatdown of Forest, scoring 4 against Palace, which Palace has always been a thorn in City's side, and went up 2-0 in that match, it should be noted. Before City responded with 4. Erling Haaland has 12 goals in six games. He is everything as advertised. And I think, again, we can talk about the fact City are not in first. I think they've been the best team over the league so far, in my opinion.
No.
I think so.
They'd be in first if they were the best team.
I think they've looked the best, but not regardless.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you there. Because looking the best isn't drawing 3-3 luckily against Newcastle. It's not going down 2-0 against Crystal Palace at home and then coming back. And then it's not drawing Villa. I don't think they've been there. I think the table does not lie currently. Arsenal have looked the best.
I think Arsenal have looked great. I'm not saying they haven't looked great. We'll see. I'll leave it at that.
It's not going to be that at the end of the season.
No, I'm not saying that. But I think the more important thing is that the players that City have brought in, because again, City did this window, which has not been talked about because it doesn't fit the narrative. They made money this window, sold for more than they bought, and yet were able to bring in Haaland, who is an absolute terror, Alvarez, who looks incredible and has the work rate to replace what they lost with Jesus, but looks to be more of a natural finisher. And I'm just very excited. I think honestly, if it wasn't for Haaland doing what he's doing, there'd be so much more talk about how incredible Alvarez has looked, especially how young he is as well. And then Sergio Gomez, in the short time he's played, looks like he fits right into the City lineup, much like Joao Cancelo, who he'll be the understudy for, does not like to defend very much, spends most of the game in attack, but looks every bit of that. We've really haven't got to see much of Calvin Phillips yet, though he looked very, very good in the second half of the Champions League game yesterday and when he finally got a chance to play. And they brought in Akanji, which is great cover for the fact that all of City center backs are always hurt. And he looked good. I think they look very, very good. I'm very happy Bernardo Silva stayed, even if it's just for one more year. I think it was very big to keep him because he's looked very good this year. And I've been very impressed with how City have played. I think they look like a very different team than the team they looked like last year, where last year it literally was just prodding all game long because they couldn't find a way to get a goal. Now they look like they can score a goal whenever they need to. And I think that it's going to take time for this team to really click too, which is why I say I think they've looked very good for a team that's adjusting to some systematic changes. The only downside being that I think Kyle Walker looks bad. I've been a big Kyle Walker guy. I think he's been pretty awful. He was very bad in the Newcastle game. He's now injured, and maybe that's been the reason why, but he was bad, pretty bad in the Villa game too, before coming out. And that's maybe the only flaw there. So we might see Cancelo playing at right back with Gomez playing on the left, which is going to be a challenge. But I think City have looked good. I think they get to play some youngsters. We've seen Cole Palmer get a decent amount of minutes. We've even seen Rico Lewis, who's 17 years old, play. So I've been very impressed with City. But I will say, in terms of the team I want to talk about most, Michael, is your boys. So if you want to move to that, they're who I want to talk about, because I know that they had the tough defeat to United, but we got to talk about them. It's time to be appreciative of it.
Yeah, I mean, didn't lose a game all of August, and we lost our first match away at Manchester United. I mean, I would take that deal any day of the week. If you offered me the first six matches of the season, 5 wins, 1 loss, I would take that. And, you know, Arsenal have looked great. I think that they're going to be able to beat any team this year, where I didn't feel that way last year. I mean, there's still the off mistake in them. I've seen that in every single match that they've played, where it looks like something could go wrong at any time, and it will when we play better teams. But, you know, they've looked great through their first six matches of the season, and even in this loss to United, they were the better team, objectively. 3-1 wouldn't reflect that, but they scored first, and it was harshly ruled offside, not offsides, harshly ruled a foul in the buildup by Odegaard, which it was not. And, you know, it changes the whole script. When you score a goal and it's taken away so harshly, it deflates you a little bit. And from there, I mean, Arsenal, they took a step back in that first half a little bit. United went up 1-0. Arsenal battled back in the second half and then completely dominated. And then against the run of play, United scored their second goal and then their third. But still, nothing that's devastating. You know, I really did want to win the United game, want to win every game. That one felt like it was in our hands and it was lost. But the feeling around the club, I think, is the best it's ever been since I've been an Arsenal fan. The players are so exciting. And yeah, I mean, I really don't have anything negative to say except for that there are going to be nasty mistakes that this team makes, and it's going to leave a bad taste in every Arsenal fan's mouth. And we're going to lose hard games like this against United, but I think this is the season where Arsenal get top four, and I think they're going to do it with some comfort. Like, I think second, third place is attainable for this team. I think they're that good if they stay healthy, which to this point they already have not. So concern there.
Yeah. I mean, I think health has always been a concern when it comes to Arsenal. We've seen that time and time again for multiple seasons now. I will say, I just think they look far more like they've bought in to what they were trying to do for like a year and a half now. It looks like all the players fit it. I think the addition of Jesus has been dramatic. Mm-hmm. Zinchenko as well, who I thought has played very well.
Excellent.
I will say I have some concerns. I have still a concern in the midfield, being the Lokonga is okay.
He's not good. He's not good enough. That's
you're not going to win the league with him playing in the midfield.
And that's the number one problem area for Arsenal. It's if Thomas Partey is out, Arsenal have a hole that they currently cannot fill.
Yeah, and that's my concern, is I think they're missing one, like, a depth piece there.
Yeah,
because I think when Partey is in, I think they're good. But when he's out, and you're still resigning on Xhaka, who has been very good.
Xhaka has maybe been Arsenal's best player through six games of the season.
And we know how that goes.
I don't know, though. I don't know, because Granit Xhaka isn't playing the position that Granit Xhaka has played every other year at Arsenal. Like, he is a true box-to-box midfielder this year. And honestly, he's like a left winger most of the time, which is odd, but it's working for him.
Yeah. I do think I've been very, very impressed, though. I don't, to your point, to the VAR decision that started really turned this game around.
Just kills the momentum.
It killed it. I thought Arsenal looked like the best team to start, and then it kind of killed it. And I thought United looked a lot better from after that decision on. And then the second half, I honestly thought Arsenal were looking very good, and Rashford just sliced right down the middle, and then from there it was done.
Yeah.
But
that's what this team has in them, right? I mean, they have the ability to give up a goal apropos of nothing at any time, which is terrifying. And on the other hand, they're also, I think, one of the best defensive teams in the league. I think they have some of the best center backs, or the best center back pairing in the league. I mean, it's up there at least. And, you know, there's no real stability in that back line. And that's going to be the problem. They're either, oh my God, no one's getting past them, or, oh my God, they're going to give up a goal at any moment, at any time. Just bizarre.
So can we move to United for a second? Because I kind of want to talk about United in both the good and the bad. So United have improved dramatically since the last time we've talked.
Yes.
They've got two big wins, honestly. They beat Arsenal, who had either looked, you know, to your point, the best team, or my point, the second best team in the league so far, and they beat them. And they beat Liverpool. Obviously, they're all-time rival and the team that last year was damn near close to winning the league and the Champions League. And they beat them, and they beat them thoroughly. Like, they truly won that match. I do want to talk, though. United have brought in some players and have made some changes with their new manager. I want to say Martinez looks incredible. I think he was a great signing, and I know that's probably tough for you to say because he was linked with Arsenal. I think he's very, very good. I think he's looked very good.
I think he's good. I don't know that. I don't think he gives me the confidence that Saliba gives me.
I don't know. I feel like I've been very impressed. I think part of that might be that he's playing next to the corpse of Rafael Varane. Might be the reason that you're thinking that.
He's been solid the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's been good. I think, and I have a trouble pronouncing his name. I don't know if it's the right way, but Malesia, I think, has actually looked pretty good. Yeah. And so is your cousin. Has looked pretty good on the other side. My question is, and this is what I want to talk about United. There's a missing piece in the starting lineup now in their two biggest victories of the season.
Yeah.
And there was a transfer that didn't happen. So at what point does Cristiano Ronaldo not starting implode this team from within?
I don't know. I mean, he gets to do his little cameo at the end of every match. Has literally no impact on anything that United do. But I'm not sure. Maybe in January they let him go. Maybe they terminate his contract and he goes someplace else. But he's not going to stand for not playing. I think that's for certain.
That's my question. Is like, so I will say he started today and they're losing 1-0 to Real Sociedad.
Oh, I love that.
So I just don't think he's going to start. Like,
no, he can't.
Their best lineup, he's not starting, right? Especially with Rashford actually looking like he might have turned the corner and is back to his better days.
I mean, Ronaldo just doesn't work because he doesn't work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I think United needs someone who works hard like Rashford. I don't know. I don't know that Rashford is like a better start than Cristiano Ronaldo, but I guess for the current system, he is. Rashford isn't going to score a boatload of goals this season. Like, this Arsenal game is an anomaly. Arsenal were playing a very high line, and Rashford just happened to be able to sneak through them. And his finishes weren't all that convincing either, or at least the first one wasn't. So, like, I don't know. With the Ronaldo situation, I don't know the answer. But I want to give United credit. And on the other hand, like, I don't want to give them too much credit because they didn't look that good and they kind of got a little bit lucky, it felt like.
I think that's fair. I just think, I mean, they've won four in a row after that beat down by Brentford. And it, you know, it looks like at least the system is coming into place. And we haven't even really got to see Casemiro play much either, so we don't know what impact he's going to have.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he'll replace McTominay in the starting lineup.
Scotty McTominay is so fucking bad. He's so bad, Jimmy. He's terrible. I mean, the guy literally makes football tackles. And then, you know, he'll be on a yellow for an hour and somehow not get the second one because they play at Old Trafford. It's weird. Weird stuff goes on when you play at Old Trafford. But, you know, I mean, Ten Hag ball has entered the Premier League. I'd say not yet. They look good, kind of. But I'm not sold on United. I think they're going to be a very up and down team. You know, they've won big matches at home, and then they squeaked out victories against Southampton and Leicester on the road, 2-1-0s. So still a lot of work to be done. Antony seems like a good signing. He's not a £100 million player. No. He is not that, but he's a good player.
Yeah, and he's a good signing.
Yeah.
I think at this point, when it comes to transfers, you can't necessarily look at the money. Does he make United better?
Yes, definitely.
So at that point, is he worth the money? I guess yes. That, you know what I mean? I think that's the way you have to look at it. Because some transfers depend so much on the contract and so much on, you know, the player themselves. Ajax had all the power. Mm-hmm. So they were able to get a big fee. Whereas Gabriel Jesus was going to be on the last year of his deal. City got a very reasonable fee for someone on the last year of their deal. Same with the Sterling fee. Like, you just have to look at it that way. Same thing with Sadio Mane. Like, Sadio Mane is worth way more than $30
million. Yeah.
Like, yeah, everyone knows that. But everyone knew he wanted to leave. He had 1 year left on his deal, and he wasn't signing a new deal. So they had no leverage. Yeah. They're lucky they got $30 million. Like, that's just the facts of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We can't laugh at United this week, but I'm sure we will in the future. They have looked good, though, so I do want to give them some credit. Next team I want to talk about, Jimmy, is Chelsea, who we said just fired their manager. And what we need to talk about with Chelsea is, you know, I expected them to look bad coming into the season. Mm-hmm. They played well against Spurs. I changed my opinion, and now I'm back to thinking that they're probably going to be bad, or at least up and down. They should be on a 2-0 streak, but VAR made potentially one of the most egregious calls to rob West Ham of a tying goal last weekend. That's all I want to say about that game, is that VAR completely screwed West Ham.
I agree completely. I do. I think West Ham have had a rough start to the season all around, and this was just like very fitting for how their season has started, that they had to deal with this nonsense. It should have never been called off. I think West Ham will turn it around. I will say that. It's a lot of talent there. I'm very excited to see what Paqueta can do. I think West Ham will come good. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but they're a good team. They will get better. Chelsea, we really just simply do not know. Like, I really don't even know what to make of them at this time.
Yeah. I mean, how much do you think Aubameyang helps them? Because I kind of think not that much.
I kind of feel the same. I mean, you know my feelings on Aubameyang. I'm not the biggest fan of Aubameyang. And I also think Aubameyang is very much a, it depends where his head's at. We saw what going to Barcelona did to him last season, where he needed to reinvent himself and show that he was still this great player. And he had motivation and he showed it. Now with Tuchel getting fired, when that was the main reason he came there, very clearly, I don't know if he's going to sulk again, and it's going to be, you know, last season's first half of the season with Arsenal and Aubameyang, and he's just not going to be involved, and they're going to have another Lukaku that they're going to just move on from.
I don't know. It is interesting. Chelsea is always a storyline, whether they're fantastic or failing.
We don't talk about the Lukaku transfer enough either. To spend that money, like insane amount of fee, like three times what Erling Haaland costs, at least double, and then you win one season, loan him back to the team you bought him from, like, and he's already scoring goals for Inter. He's already making an impact there. Like, he scored, I think, 10 minutes into his Inter return. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have too much to say about Chelsea. I do want to talk about Spurs, though, who currently... I do too. They currently sit in third place, play your boys next. I don't know what to make of Spurs either, Jimmy. You give me your objective opinion.
Spurs are exactly what I thought they would be, which is not impressive, but getting results. They are the only other undefeated team in the league besides City. They've done it not looking great at times and then looking very good at other times. They're not going to give up a lot of goals. This is the Conte thing. They're not going to give up a lot of goals. And with the attacking players they have, not giving up goals, giving up one or less a game, which is what they've done pretty much all year, will be enough when you have Harry Kane, when you have Son, when you have Richarlison, when you have Perisic, will be enough, and they will be competing right up there for the league. Do I think they're a true title contender? I really don't know, but they're going to be up there. I said at the beginning of the season that the top four was going to be a gap between the rest because I thought Liverpool, City, Spurs, and Arsenal were much better than the rest of the league. I am not sure that's the case now because I think United could be a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I don't want to jump there yet. I just think they could.
Yeah.
I think they can if they have the balls to continue to play the lineup they're playing and all that. I think they could be better. But I think Spurs are good. I think they're a good team. I'm terrified of the game Saturday because City plays Spurs horribly every year. We lose to them every year. Mm-hmm. And Spurs look better than they've looked for years. So I'm nervous. We could be sitting here with them first come next time we do a podcast for all we know.
It's possible. I don't... Like, obviously, the Arsenal fan is going to say that he's not impressed with Spurs, right? It's kind of like, you know how you hate how Diego Simeone teams play? Mm-hmm. Like, I hate how Antonio Conte teams play. And this Spurs team is like the epitome of just like, score the first goal, you drop 11 men behind the ball and counterattack. So, like, I think City will probably lose to Spurs because they always do. Like, I'm not falling for this anymore that City can beat them. Because they just can't for some reason. They're the better team. They won't beat them. But like, I don't know, man. Like Spurs are still going to lose like when they play Brighton. Like they're probably going to lose to Brighton. They might lose to a team like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, Crystal Palace. It's just, if you score the first goal against Spurs, I think it puts them in a lot of trouble. Because it blows up the entire way that they want to play.
I don't disagree with that.
But
I don't.
They have the best front three in the league, probably, and they can score at any time, on the other hand. So I think my problem with Spurs is less that they're Arsenal's rival, they're a competitor for the top four spot. It's more of the fact that you have this insane front three, you have a solid midfield, you have a great defense, and you just don't want to play. I hate that. I really do hate it. It like boils my blood to watch them.
Yeah, I mean, and they're not the most likable team when you add people like Richarlison and Højbjerg last year and people like that who are not the most likable players to a team that already has someone like Eric Dier.
And Christian Romero.
And Harry Kane and Son, who are liked players by a lot of people but are known to be very... They're dicey. Both of them have a cheap shot in them where they'll like, if you go up for a header, they go up under you. Both of them love doing that. So I am not the biggest fan of Spurs either, but I think they're very good. I do. I said on the introduction podcast, I just think they're going to be very good. Conte teams are always good, and he has some of the best players he's had. They're a good team. I do think they also have a depth issue. I mean, they have a good depth up front. It's their midfield depth I don't love. Oliver Skip.
You fucking have to throw on Oliver Skip. Yeah. The season goes bust.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and you already know I don't like I'm not, Bentancur has never impressed me. Didn't impress me. Juventus doesn't impress me here. Like, I told you, he's someone, every time I watch him, I feel like he's like Fernandinho if he was bad. Like, he does all those things of, like, the tactical fouls and all of that. But they're not tactical. They're just because he's slow and can't keep up with the play. That's how I feel most of the time when I watch him. I am just not... I've never been impressed with him.
The positive thing with Spurs is that they don't use their midfield, right? They just sit 11 men behind the ball, and then they send long balls up to Son. And he sprints and passes it to Kane.
I mean, it is true. I mean,
they negate the midfield problem.
This is true. And I mean, they're playing the full Conte system with the three at the back, with the wing backs. I mean, Richarlison is a perfect addition to this team. I think we talked about it. It's funny.
Yeah.
When we talked about it at the beginning, they were like, oh, you know, I don't think either one of us thought it was a great signing necessarily. He is perfect for this team because he fits the persona and he also fits what they want to do because he's a pest. He is a pest. He's an annoying player and he's scrappy. So he's going to get goals this year playing in that role. And he's going to just annoy teams. When they're up, he's the perfect guy to hit the ground seven times and not want to get up after they score that first goal. Like, he does fit them very well. I mean, and Harry Kane scoring goals. So,
yeah, I mean, they're going to be successful.
Son hasn't started off doing anything yet. So,
well, Son of last year was very fortunate to score a lot of the goals that he scored. I think his expected goals, which, you know, isn't a great measurement in a lot of scenarios, but his expected goals were so much lower than his actual. He was scoring like worldies at the beginning of last season, like insane goals that, you know, you're just not going to score every week. So he was always, I think, slated to take a little bit of a step back, but he's going to score goals too. Yep.
Don't worry, he'll only need 10 minutes against.
Oh, 100%.
He scores in the first 10 minutes every single time. It will be a breakaway. Ederson will come out. He'll go right by him and put it in the net. It'll happen every single time.
That's a 2-1 Spurs victory, no matter what. Are they at Spurs or are they at City? I think they're at City.
Good question. It really, quite frankly, does not matter. Much like Crystal Palace. But City did get rid of the voodoo against Crystal Palace. And it started with 2-0 in 15 minutes. And I thought it was happening again. So if they can break that curse, maybe they can beat Spurs this year.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I'm searching for some fixtures, so we need to give our predictions. But sadly, the Queen of England passed away today.
Yes, I did see that.
And there is definitely potential that these games get postponed this weekend. Actually, they might have already been postponed as we've been doing this podcast. Not yet. I think some of the lower league games might have been.
Yeah, I think games that were happening today.
Oh, okay.
After the announcement got postponed. I don't know if it's going to impact the weekend. It's saying some people think they will, but I don't know. I'd be surprised if they did, quite frankly. I mean, but you never know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Regardless of that, Jimmy, if there's nothing else that we want to talk about as far as teams, I think we can move into the predictions.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we start off Saturday with Fulham versus Chelsea.
So I actually think that this is going to be tough, but I think Chelsea will win. I'm going to go Chelsea 2-1.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go Fulham 2-1. Honorable mention to Fulham. Fulham have looked great every game that I've watched them play. They can score goals. They defend pretty well. Tim Ream has looked really solid. Anthony Robinson...
he's good.
Picked up a little injury against Arsenal, or maybe not against Arsenal. Against Spurs, I think. But he looked great too. Every match I've watched him play,
really good. He was actually linked with City at some point last year. I don't know if I think that's too big of a jump for him, but I think he is a very, very good defender. He's very good attacking wise for a fullback, and that's probably why he was linked to City. But he has good attacking qualities. I'm quite impressed with the American boys in the league this year, definitely, with the exception of the superstar one that doesn't seem to be doing very much superstarring.
Well, he plays for Chelsea, so it's hard that's right now.
Fair point.
Bournemouth versus Brighton.
Brighton 2-0. Bournemouth are bad.
Yeah, I'll follow you on 2-0 there.
Adam Milano's Brighton.
Yeah, oh, God. Win. So bizarre. Leicester and Villa.
I'm going to go Villa 2-0.
I'll go 2-1 Villa. Liverpool and Wolves.
I think Liverpool have to win this game. I'm going to go 2-1. I'm excited to see if we see Diego Costa making his return.
Oh, my God. Insane. I'm going to go 1-1. Liverpool don't feel like they're going to get right. Not that quick after such an odd defeat against Napoli. Not an odd defeat. I should say an embarrassing defeat. Not because of the scoreline, because of the way that they play in their body language. Southampton versus Brentford.
I'm going to go Southampton 1-0.
Ooh, this is a 2-2 draw. City versus Spurs.
I'm going to predict City to win because they beat Crystal Palace. They can beat Spurs. I'm going to go City 3-1.
I'll go 2-1 Spurs. I hope you're right, Jimmy. But, I mean, I've been burnt too many times by this fixture. I'm not even. I mean, I've seen it 100 times. Well, what's the point? What's the point of picking against fate? And then Sunday we have Arsenal versus Everton.
1-0 Arsenal. Tough one. Very tough.
I don't think it's as tough as people think. I'll go 2-0 Arsenal. Pickford's out seemingly for quite some time now. So Begovic is going to be in goal. I think that is actually kind of a big deal. Yeah, Everton's goalkeeper is a bigger deal to them than most other teams, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, oddly enough, Jordan Pickford is a super important piece.
He did look very good in Liverpool.
Yeah, he's a guy who, like, certain games he'll be indestructible, and then, you know, other games he'll be insane. But West Ham versus Newcastle is the next one.
So I actually, this is like low key my most excited game I want to see this weekend. West Ham have looked rough. Newcastle have looked great. But something tells me West Ham's going to show up to this game. I am going 3-2 West Ham.
This is a 2-2 draw as well. Newcastle aren't turning over for anyone this year. I don't know. I don't see them dropping all the points here. I think they get at least one. Now, this is a really interesting one. This will be the test for Manchester United. Can you get points away at Crystal Palace? 1-1 draw?
One draw.
I feel the same thing. Yeah, I'll follow you on 1-1. I think that's a good prediction. And then on Monday, we have Leeds and Nottingham Forest.
Leeds have hit a little rough patch over the last three. They've drawn two losses, but I think they're going to win this one. Forest are another team that cannot defend. Not that Leeds are very good at defending themselves, but I am going to go with a 2-1 Leeds victory.
I'll go 3-1 Leeds. Brendan Aaronson brace.
Oh, I love it.
Love it.
Love it.
All right, Jimmy. Why don't you hit them with the plugs before we go?
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. You can email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. Apple Podcasts, if you listen to your podcast, leave those 5-star reviews, please. Much appreciated. We look forward to hearing from you guys. It's been a good season. We're excited. We're enjoying it.
And top of the table.
You can see us complain about VAR. We do a lot of those tweets too.
Oh, we certainly do.
And the random what's a global warming denying that happened during the match, the Arsenal match, which I had to tweet about because I could not.
Why did that happen? This is Lee Dixon, right?
Yeah, allegedly.
He is out of his mind. Lee Dixon's out of his mind. Too many hard tackles for him.
I mean, he's the mostly soccer brought and bred. He's a City fan, Arsenal player. He's right up our alley.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, boy. All right. Well, we'll be back next week or the week after, allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right. See you next time.